Hello, my dear boy.
Hello, my dear Linda.
Did you get the picture I just sent you of Lenny?
He's like a little fuzzy puddle.
He's like hugging his little dolphin that I just realized has what looks like puke stain on it.
I think it's definitely a shark, but the shark is looking at him. It's very cute.
Yeah, it's a little shark. And they're just looking into each other's eyes while he sleeps. It's cute.
And then are those two socks that he has also claimed as his own?
Yeah, I think he just kind of like, he doesn't chew socks up, but he'll take them and just like bring them to where he is.
Just gently mouth them.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the noise they make.
Very normal. We love to see it.
Andy, the new apartment has mice.
Oh, Linda, I'm so sorry. That's annoying.
And just need to get that out there because I'm looking at a mouse zapper right now.
I thought you could say you're looking at a mouse. I'm like, wow, you got brazen mice. They're just watching the
Yeah.
podcast, huh?
Well, I had mice in my last apartment, and I had this zapper thing that you put a little food trap into, and then they run into it, and then it electrocutes them dead immediately. Sorry to the vegans who are listening. And so I got these same exact little traps that worked so well in my last place. And these mice, they have more street smarts or something, because I've only caught one. And you can hear them like chewing in the walls at night and stuff. And then I saw one like run out into my living room. I'm not here for it, Andy. I put all my food in the refrigerator. There's nothing in the pantry. I'm like trying to starve them out right now.
That sucks. Do you have any indication as to whether or not your landlord is just a normal awful landlord or an especially awful landlord?
I think they're like I don't know, but what I do like about them is that they have a super who is very, very sweet and kind. And so I like messaged him about these mice, and like before he even called me back, he called pest control. And so he then called and was like, "Okay, they'll be there on Friday. Sorry, that was the first time they could come out." So he's very responsive. He's very on top of it, and he's also extremely like you can tell he's got a lot of pride in this building. And he's like, "Oh no." They're like kind of
Well,
embarrassed.
that's good. I mean, not that he's
Yeah.
embarrassed, but it's good that he's responsive and seems to care about the building.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to give the landlord any credit for that, because all I hear is that the landlord has put a middleman between criticism and them to avoid any
Right.
criticism. But
Which I think is actually preferred in this situation. It's kind of like when
oh,
you're a
it's definitely
designer.
better from your perspective than having to deal with a fucking landlord.
Right. 'Cause like it's like when you're a designer, or like, having an agency or whatever, it's like the person doing the work should never have to do the client facing stuff, like talk about billing and about all of the administrative things behind the work. I always think it's better to like, I don't know, have one step in between for all of that administrative stuff so that you're not like, it gets emotional, it gets hard.
Well, that's a nice idea. I sure would love that luxury, but we're too small for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're like the owner, but it's like if you had a junior designer, you wouldn't be like, "Hey, go talk to the client about how they're 2 months behind payment."
Yes, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when we had interns and an office and all that fun stuff before the pandemic, I would definitely pride myself on setting the part-time employees up for success in all ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy, Christmas just happened,
Crimbo.
the new year is approaching,
Crimby Bimbo.
and I have a life update.
Oh, a life update, Linda. Just moved. What else could there possibly be?
We can get to my life update later there. How was your Christmas?
Okay, what the hell? That's not how you have a conversation, Linda.
Well, I got nervous that I was talking about myself too much because I just opened right up with the
It's
mice.
called Earth to Linda, not Earth to Andy.
It's true.
We all
But
know you're the interesting and exciting one.
no. Okay, I'll talk about my things. I have a boyfriend.
Ooh.
Right. That's all.
Linda and boyfriend sitting in a tree.
He who shall not be named boyfriend. Yeah,
Can we come up with a fake name just so you don't have to say my boyfriend over and over again? I feel like that's not fun. It could be fun to call him like Rattlesnake or something.
Oh, Rattlesnake is good. Let's call him Rattlesnake.
Do you actually want to go with Rattlesnake? Are you genuinely going to call me next week and be like, yeah, so Rattlesnake and I were hanging out and just
it will be hard
this movie.
To say it earnestly, yeah.
Yeah, so what's an earnest one? Like, how about Tom?
Tom. That's great, because we can say it's Tom Hanks.
There you go. Tom Hanks.
My me and my new boyfriend, Tom Hanks.
Well, we'll just say Tom, but listener, you know, whenever we say Tom, we're talking about Tom Hanks.
And please tell everyone that Linda's dating Tom Hanks.
Yeah, this is very important. Also, don't let it get back to Tom for reasons.
Yeah, exactly. But Tom and I worked together 10 years ago. And we re-met over the summer, hung out as friends for a few months, and a new love has blossomed.
Was this something that was like smoldering when you and Tom were working together a decade ago? Is there a little like energy that was not able to be pursued for whatever reason?
No, we were joking that in the Hallmark reenactment of this relationship, they would definitely like overemphasize on that part and put in a lot of heavy-handed like allusions to the future. But no, we were just kind of like nice acquaintances back then. And
just pretty sometimes neutral.
Yeah, but sometimes like you grow in a similar way as someone else and then you meet them again.
Oh yeah, like, to be clear, right? You're a totally different person, not totally, but you are such a different person now, as is Tom, I imagine, than you were 10 years ago.
That, absolutely.
You know, that's not to say anything, of course, about your current arrangement. It's funny, I have a my favorite cousin, my mom's side of the family. Sorry any other cousins if you're listening, but I know you're not. My favorite cousin on my mom's side of the family, he was like, you know, a couple years older than me, and I always looked up to him or whatever. And he was like a very smart and talented high schooler, basically, but he was also an arrogant prick, just like kind of a, just thought he was hot shit, because he kind of was hot shit, to be frank, but he knew he was hot shit, and that was like not good for his, you
yeah,
know.
Knowing you're hot shit makes you like less of hot shit. Anyway,
you definitely
shouldn't
know your hot shit when you're 16. That's not right for any 16-year-old to have that and that much sort of self-awareness.
That's how you stop trying.
Anyway, his wife of now, gosh, I guess it's probably been like 10 or 12 years at this point, was someone he knew in high school, and then they got together after college. And it is often talked about the fact that she hated his ass in high school because he was a prick.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
They were like, you know, kind of sparring, you know, good grade getters, and they just kind of like did not like each other. Her especially, him, and then they ended up being married, which I think is pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, fun.
Fun.
It's fun to change in positive ways.
Yeah, it's great to grow. I love to do a growth instead of doing a no growth.
Oh yeah, but it's funny because as you're saying this, I was thinking about like some people in my family who I've known forever, and like you see them every year at these family events, and you're kind of like, yeah, people just are who they are, and they never really change. But I'm sure that they're changing like in other ways. It's like maybe your personality never changes, but the way that you show up might change over time.
I do think people change less as they get older. Not to be ageist, but from what I've observed, I feel like people, as life goes on, get more and more set in their ways and oftentimes do not maintain the malleability required to change.
Yeah.
Whereas when you tell me 10 years ago I knew this guy as an acquaintance, I'm like, well, of course, 10 years ago Linda was like a whole different human being. Like, you know, percentage of life experience wise, you know, it was just a whole different person. Whereas when you're like 60, how different are you when you're 60 versus 50? It's like, it's a very different relative time span, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're just coming out of the holidays, Linda, dealing with, you know, family and parents and stuff. And my thing I always say about parents, which is what I learned from my dad, basically, is that like, I never have any expectation that anybody of like my parents or my parents' generation is going to change. Like, I never am navigating the world with like, oh, well, I'll say this and do that and ask for this and expect them to change. I'm like, no, you're just probably going to keep doing whatever you're doing. And if there's any change that has to happen, it's probably going to be on, you know, my end of the equation.
Right. Yep.
Which maybe that's unfair. Maybe someone from that generation is listening and thinking, I can change, you know, teach me the way.
Well, I feel like the older and older you get, the more nuanced the change becomes. Sorry, it's very cute. Lenny's laying on his back and he has my sock in his mouth now, and he's using his paws to throw it up in the air and then catch it in his mouth again.
Oh my God, Lenny. That is too adorable.
I'm going to send you so many pictures.
Yeah. I'm going to need a video of that one if you can get it.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of that vampire movie with Tilda Swinton. Do you remember the one? I'm forgetting what it was called.
I don't do vampire movies. They scare me. They scare my little bones. Okay.
Well, this one was so not great, so you shouldn't see it. But, like, the idea was just that her and her, like, lover had been alive for so long that they had just picked up so many, like, amazing talents and so many different, like, careers in their life. And then they were just, like, now at the point where they've done everything and they're, like, depressed and bored and, like, ready to die, basically.
Sounds but depressing. I'm like, show me the right? fun parts.
Yeah, not fun. But I always wondered because, yeah, like you're saying, like the older that people get, they kind of tend to get more and more and more stuck in their ways. It's not like they're forever approaching life as a 22-year-old.
I think it's really hard to. I think it's really hard to have the fucking energy to. Like, you know, on top of just having way more baggage and worn down routes in your brain that are pushing the opposite direction that you have to fight against. It's also like, it's hard. It's hard to be a growing person. It takes work that a lot of people, myself oftentimes, are not willing to put in, you know?
Yeah. It's like a lot of emotional and mental work. It's not just physical. It's not just like, well, I'm old, tired. It's like, yeah.
I do want to give some credit to my mom. If there's one person of that generation that has changed the most that I know, it's definitely my mom, who has transformed quite a bit since she and my dad parted ways, and I'm very proud of her, and I admire her for it.
That's amazing. Go mom.
Yeah. This I kind of think that she was that always person all along and was just kind of stifled. Like, I don't really think that anything inside of her changed all that much. It was just that she was able to do all the stuff that she wasn't really able to do on account of being attached to Ken.
Yeah, I think that there's still so much to be said for that. Like, that
for sure. Not to discredit it at all.
Yeah. What a brave lady.
Yeah, she rules.
Not everyone gets to have that. That, like, second time around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burr inspiring.
So that's the new thing in my life. I went to Atlanta the week before Christmas, and now I'm here in Brooklyn. I am looking forward to a new year, I guess.
You guess?
Well, it's just like, it's
all
it's
things are bright in the world of Linda. Your horizon is glowing.
Well, hear me out. This is still a very on brand for Linda thought. It's more like, I mean, Thursday's good, and then so is Friday. And then Sunday's going to be great, and then so is Monday. And so, like, the new year.
I was with you right until the last two examples.
Yeah, you're like, no, those days are very different. I'm just like, yeah, it's like we call it a new year, but it's weird how much credit we give to, like, a date rolling over. Like, same thing with birthdays.
It's funny. I feel like if we were to have this discussion, I would be the person that was like, it's a completely trivial difference. And you would be like, no, but it matters for these reasons. And you're here saying that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just a date rolling over. We made up time. We invented it. And then some fucking Greek guy just added a couple months because he wanted to. And I actually, as I've gotten older, I'm like, you know what is kind of nice? Like, even though it is an arbitrary day, like, you know, December 31st, January 1st could be any day of the year. You could do this on June 22nd, but guess what? You fucking won't. You won't take that time on June 22nd to reflect on the last year and think about how your life has changed and what's going on.
I mean, maybe you won't, but I fucking am. You kidding me? I feel like, I've been doing a lot of reflecting this year, but it's been a big year for me too. So
you've had a lot going on.
I have had a lot going on. Anyways, yeah, so I'm never like, ooh, yay, a new year. Like, what am I going to do with this one that I didn't do with the last? Like, I think I'm always kind of trying to push myself to be a little bit more than I was. And I'm always like a little bit disappointed and feeling like I didn't do quite as much as I wanted to, but then being like, hey, but it's okay, because we're people, and people, being a people is hard.
How much goal setting do you do? Like you said, you're a little disappointed that you didn't, you know, get whatever thing done, whatever thing you're imagining in your head. How much do you set goals that you can measure?
Pretty much every month. I sit down and like think about what do I want to accomplish this month. Like, oh my God, like my big giant hike that I did. And that was like such a huge week. Like I think last month I checked off some like really huge goals that I had. It was like I wanted to do more than 20 miles in a day, and I wanted to do stand up. And stand up has been like, ugh, that's been a goal for ever.
Wait, you wanted stand up comedy. I got so lost for a second. I was like, is stand up some kind of exercise? Is it the name of the trail? No, I'm following you.
Stand up comedy. Yeah. And so I think that, yeah, like I just checked these huge goals. Like the stand up, some of the jokes in my stand up, I've been thinking for the last like 20 years of my life, like, oh man, if I ever have the guts to do stand up, I'm going to include this joke. And then I like included that joke into this set that I've literally been like thinking for 15 years, I'm going to say that on a stage someday.
I literally have the same sort of list in my head of like, if I ever were to do that, these are some things I would want to joke about.
Yeah. Well, it's like, the other day, Tom was saying that, like, what is it that it takes you like 20 years to write your first album, and then they ask you to write the second one in like 6 months? As a musician.
Never heard that one, but that makes sense. I like that little aphorism.
Yeah. And like how we were talking about like different types of creative people and how they have different, like there are people like Dolly Parton who I think can just write hits until the day they die. Like they just have a knack for writing really amazing things and melodies. But like, I think some people are like, I'm going to make like 2 great movies in my life and then that'll be it. That's all I got. Anyways, yeah, I felt that about stand-up a little bit. I'm like, I said my jokes.
Yeah, honestly, if I had, like, my ideal creative life, I would just kind of want to do one of all the things, right? Like,
yeah.
I've made the website, Linda. I'm fucking done making the website. I done did that one. Yeah. It would be fun to do other things, right? Like, and just make the one or make the two. It's always the kind of person I've been. I kind of... In a lot of things, I lack the patience to get really good at a thing by doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm so addicted to the huge leap of the first thing, where it's like, I went from not being able to do this to doing it.
Yes.
That then it's like, the incremental change, meh.
Off to
go be good at something brand new and prove that a modern Renaissance man.
Yeah, this is totally my thing. This is... Yeah, me with the little movies or with music in my past or with illustration or, yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to just do this every day. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There's so many other new things I could be learning how to do.
For sure. Yep. For sure. I feel that big time.
What are you and Hill Dog going to do for New Year's?
Oh, we're trying to figure that out today. We, prior to the pandemic... New Year's Eve would be the one like party with a capital P that we would throw, where we would have like 50 people over and like rage, and the house would get destroyed, and that was like the one big party we would have every year. And
this tracks for me. I don't know if I knew this like outright, but like I feel like you two just have such good New Year's vibes. Like I'm imagining cozy sweaters and maybe some like spiked cider. Or
for a couple of years, I smoked a brisket for the 24 hours leading up to midnight. Oh, and then we had smoked brisket, which was really good. Anyway, so it used to be our one party. And, I think everybody should throw like one big party every like once a year, like regularly, because then you get invited to everyone else's big party. Right. Whereas if you don't throw a big party, then you have to like already know people that are throwing the parties, you know. And it's also, like, I think it's rare you find somebody that, like, wants to be hosting the big parties all the time. Those type of people are, like, rare unicorns, the weird sickos and perverts that there's not that many of. So it's kind of like you got to do your time a little bit. If you want to attend, you know, cool big parties, every once in a while you got to host one. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that was our big party forever. Obviously, we didn't do it during the pandemic. now people are doing big parties again, but I don't think either Hillary or I feel good about doing like the same scale of party we've done in the past. And so we like asked around to like our close friends, like, hey, what are you doing? Do you want to do like a small thing? And some of them are like, yeah. And some of them are like, oh, I'm going to this other big party. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's fair. But also it makes me kind of sad.
Because those people still wanted a big giant party.
Right. They're still willing to do it. And because we're not, it's like we're gonna lose our spot, right? So that we're going to be displaced in their head as the New Year's party people.
I do not want a big giant party. I like a small thing. And I think that's what I'll be doing this year.
My sweet spot is like 8 to 12.
Yeah.
Enough people that it is not at all awkward to have multiple concurrent separate conversations.
Yeah. Okay. I like that number.
But basically, no more than that.
Once you get to like 5 or 6, yeah, it's hard because it's like the group is a little bit too big for everyone to be in on the same convo. And like one person's going to just kind of get quiet.
I also think it should be big enough that two people should be able to like kind of like disengage a little bit, sneak off and have their like little one-on-one friend moment. I feel like it's a big part of parties is like it's an opportunity to maybe have a little one-on-one moment with somebody you wouldn't like.
Now, when you say one-on-one moment, are you saying make out?
I'm not saying make out. Linda, we're in our fucking mid-30s, okay? I'm not saying make out.
All I know is that like at your wedding, you were really excited because like somebody made out.
Oh, let's be clear. I was not excited about that. I was noting that it happened. I observed it. No, I don't mean make out. I mean, maybe there's some, I don't know, maybe there's some romantic feelings. I just mean that I feel like everyone has this like layer of their friend group where it's like people they really like that they like to talk to, but maybe you're not close enough or don't have any established history of like one-on-one hangs where like that would be an escalation or like, you know, a thing that would be kind of out of the ordinary for you to be like, hey, let's go do this thing one-on-one. And I feel like providing a venue where maybe you start talking about a subject and then you kind of like spiral and now it's like, boom, you got a little one-on-one moment happening. My point is I like for parties to be big enough for one of those to be going on and everybody like to be big enough for like two people to kind of disappear a little bit if they want.
Got it. I really like that. That's very thoughtful. You're a very thoughtful host.
That is one way to put it. You could also say that I am an obsessive overthinker that is not doing good.
So wait, so are you kind of like lamenting or like wishing that you had done a big New Year's party? Or maybe like, no. Okay, well, here we're going all out. I'm already going to pick out the butcher that I'm going to get the brisket from.
No, nothing in my bones wishes we were throwing a big party. I feel very, very not into that idea. So okay. There's no regret there. It's just kind of like, this is one of the things that changed with the pandemic. One of the million zillion things that changed with the pandemic is we have this nice little slot in our social circles where multiple different friend groups all understood that our house was the house for New Year's, and now that's just not the thing anymore. And it was, you know, this was not the thing probably as of, you know, the first New Year's during the pandemic, but this is the first year we're like, oh, there's other stuff going on. We're not going to throw the big rager we always throw. And so just time moves on, things change, you know?
Exactly. It does. Time do be changing.
I also have an exciting life update, Linda.
Tell me.
Hillary and I are going to buy a new couch.
Oh my God. I was bracing myself for baby.
I tried to set you up for that, but...
you bitch.
I'm a bitch. What can I say? Yeah, I'm going to buy a new couch, and shopping for shit fucking sucks, Linda.
Wait, hold on. Can we pause real quick?
Yeah, of course.
If you and Hillary do ever decide to have a baby, I would actually love it if you didn't tell me, like, in one of our friend chats, and you instead decided to wait and tell me on the air. That would be kind of funny.
Okay. I don't think we're planning on having children, so things have to change pretty dramatically, but this is good to know.
Yeah, just let you know.
That you think it might be fun to hear big news on the air. I'll keep that in mind for the future.
Yeah.
Okay, so, anyways. When I get diagnosed with cancer or something, I'll tell you on the show.
You'll be like, I got big news! And I'll be like, yes! You'll be like, I'm dying of cancer! And I'm like, oh no.
It's funny. I just sat here and I got a little bit like, oh man, like, If we don't have kids, let's just say, you know, fast forward. We're never taking anything completely off the table, but let's just, you know, say that it doesn't happen. We can see into the future. What is the good thing I could surprise you with that was a big thing in my life? Nothing. I've got a job. We own a house. I'm married. What else could there be, right? There's no other big happy things.
Well, this is the thing about being a human. It's like we put all of our stock on these things like wedding, baby, buy a house. That's kind of it. Like, yeah, so if you're just a person who's like decidedly not having children, people are like, I'm done. We're done with you.
You got to set your own goals. That's hard.
Yeah, you got to just go do stand-up.
Yeah.
If you did stand-up, that would be a big one. I'd be fucking stoked to hear
I would
about
hide
that.
It from you until I already had, like, recorded a whole set.
Oh, my God.
And I would just drop it on you.
It'd be like, I've actually been doing this for years, and I finally perfected my 10.
Here's my Netflix special. Send you a link.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd be, like, a little jealous. Gotta be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, so the couch.
The fucking couch.
A couch is a big decision for any family.
I mean, it's so dumb, and it's so dumb that, like, the big things that we talk about that are, like, things in our lives are just, like, different kinds of consumption. We talked about this with the bed, right? We got the new bed. We did many episodes about all the fucking bullshit around the bed, and it sucked, right? It sucks. I hate it. But it's also like,
it's also where you spend what is it, like a third of your life or something?
Well, right. Like, ultimately, I'm glad that I put as much time and effort into the whole bed project as I did, because now we fucking love our bed, Linda. Like, it's so good. And anytime we're traveling, we're like, God damn, we miss our bed. It's so good. So, like, it paid off, right? It was worth it.
What kind of mattress did you get?
Oh, gosh. We ended up... I don't want to mark an A, but I think we ended up with a Sattva.
Okay, cool.
Does that sound right? One of the fucking podcast advertisers. It was Lisa, actually. Lisa.
Got it. Cool.
And I don't know.
Either way.
One of the fucking podcast mattress companies after doing a bunch of research. So anyway, we have our, like, we don't have our TV down in the main part of the house. I don't like when living rooms are situated around television.
Hey, I just did the same thing in my new place. Yay, go us.
Yeah, so we have like a little tiny room in our house, which I guess is ostensibly a second bedroom, but it's really tiny. It would be like kind of tough to fit a twin size bed in there comfortably. But it's the perfect size for like a couch and a television and nothing else, which is great because then we have like minimal square footage dedicated to watching TV or playing video games or watching movies or whatever. But it's still a thing that we like to do, right? Like experiencing art that is experienced through a television. So the couch we have in there right now is a couch that Hillary and I bought for our old apartment. And it was like the first piece of furniture we ever bought together.
Aww.
And it was just like we bought it for the needs of the time, which was it was going to be the only place to sit in our apartment. And it was just kind of like a do-it-all couch for a small apartment. So it's basically like a big love seat. It's like 71 inches long. So it's like in between a love seat and a couch. Two people, very comfortable. Three people can squeeze on it. Four people don't fit. And it's not great for the room. It's also, it's not like a lounging couch. This is my other thing. It's like a sitting couch. And I want a lounge. It's like a little bit too upright, a little
like
too firm.
Something?
I want to like sink into some shit is my goal. So anyway, we've like had a bunch of times over the past, you know, few months where we've had like a handful of friends or family over and we like all cram into that room to either play video games or play GeoGuessr or something. And we're like, we should just like get a better couch. So we're going to turn basically the entire room into couch. Right? I said it was a small room. It's going to be like couch from wall to wall to wall is our goal. We're going to try and get like a little L-shaped deal that fits in this like very specific space. And I've been doing an Andy amount of research on this issue for the better part of like a month, basically.
Okay.
And had prepared a full dossier of couches for us to go and sit on when we were down in D.C. visiting Hillary's family over the holidays, because D.C. has one of all of the furniture showrooms of every furniture company, basically. So we were like just going to go and sit on all the couches and kind of make a decision. And shopping for shit just sucks so much, Linda. Like, for all that capitalism has taken from us, for all that it has ruined everything, you'd think it would at least be fun to do the one fucking thing that you are allowed to do under capitalism. Like, at least make it fun to buy shit. But it's just a goddamn minefield of, like, scams, basically. Buying anything is a minefield of scams. And, like, trying to find a company that makes a reasonable, reliable couch is, like, near impossible. And you can find some that seem really good, but they don't have any brick-and-mortar locations, so you literally can't sit on it ahead of time. You could just buy it, and then if you don't like it, you can return it within 100 days, but then you still got to pay a 10% restocking fee, and, you know, then you wasted 3 months of your life waiting for your couch to come, and it wasn't the right couch. Or you can go to these, like, brick-and-mortar stores, which are all trying to make the cheapest, shittiest, doesn't-last couch as they possibly can,
well,
and pass it off.
To New York, where they have, like, flagship stores for some of these bigger furniture companies, but... I digress.
We're going to be there in what is it, 2 weeks? Or is it 1 week?
Wait, what?
I told you this months ago. I told you to put it on your calendar. It is literally next weekend, so not in a day, but a week tomorrow.
All right. Let's hang.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be there, and we'll probably maybe do the thing you just said, but we'll go sit on even more couches. But where was I? Sorry, yeah, everyone's just trying to make a shit couch, right? Like, the couch that fit in the room most perfectly, and again, the dimensions are very specific, was this one couch made by West Elm. And I'm like, ugh, West Elm. Definitely the kind of company that is trying to make a thing that looks really good on Instagram and probably almost certainly doesn't look that good 5 or 10 years later. I don't think there's much, like, heirloom furniture coming out of West Elm.
It's a little frumpy, yeah.
So we ended up, like, going and sitting on all these couches. I don't know, it's been a whole fucking ordeal, but the summary of it is that we eventually found the couch that we're like, okay, we're going to get this couch. It, like, satisfies all of the things. It's from Pottery Barn, which I never in a million years would have guessed that Pottery Barn would have had the couch we wanted, because
me neither.
I associate Pottery Barn with, like, my mom's friend's furniture, right? Like, I assume it's going to look kind of like... big and frumpy and suburban and just, like, not appeal to my tastes. But we, like, went and sat on all these couches in all these stores, Linda, and for the most part, none of the couches were comfortable. Like, it was very hard to find one that was actually comfortable. You go into Pottery Barn, every single fucking couch is a banger. They're all comfortable as hell. They don't look amazing. They're not super trendy, but every single fucking couch is comfortable as hell. So that was a good sign. The exact model we want, we can't actually sit on because it's not in any showrooms in North America. I don't know why. Nobody could give me a good answer. I think maybe it's kind of newish. Someone in the flagship store in DC said they might have at the end of the spring. But what we did was we sat on every other couch, right? And basically, like, made sure we sat on a couch with the exact same bottom cushion material. And we sat on a couch with the exact same depth. And we, like, confirmed that all of these independent variables make sense. And again, every couch in Pottery Barn was a banger. So we're confident in this couch. Now, one of the things I kept in mind from the very beginning, Linda, because I didn't want to have my fucking heart broken, was can I get this couch into our house, up the stairs, and into this small room? And the couch that is in there now, I know we did do this. And it was 8 years ago, but I remember doing it, and it was, like, a little bit of, like, finagling, but it was possible. It wasn't, like, a huge hassle to get it in the room. And so I, like, the first thing I did is I made a spreadsheet, and I put in, you know, column one, the dimensions of that couch, just so I would know how much bigger are we looking, what are the piece sizes, we'll be able to get it in the room. Did all this work. We come back from all of our Christmas travels, and we're going to order the couch that day. And just a triple check, because I like to be thorough, Linda, I go and, like, measure all of the spaces, right? I based it all on this couch I knew got in the room, but I measure the staircase, I measure the door. And the couch we're looking at doesn't fit at all. So I go and measure our couch that's in that room, and it's totally different than the dimensions of the couch on the website of the manufacturer.
What?
And maybe they totally changed it. The pictures are identical to what the pictures were when we bought it. There's no sign that it changed, but ours is, like, 4 inches smaller in the dimension that matters than it says it is online. So all of the work I did to, like, prepare that was out the window, and almost all the couches we looked at, none of them actually fit in our house. So,
oh my God.
Here's where we're at, Linda.
Oh my God.
I think gonna try and bring this couch in through a second story window.
Oh my God, you're gonna do it. You gotta do it. Do it.
So here's the deal. I've been on my roof a lot. I, like, after I bought the house, I just kind of, like, went up there. I was like,
wait,
I own
this
roof.
Try to do this yourself?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. So I've been on the roof a lot. I like I said, when I bought the house, I went up there. I'm like, I own this roof. Might as well go look at it and make sure it like looks fine and like see how hard it is to get up there in case I have to get up there in case of an emergency or like a leak or something. And yeah, it's not hard to get on the roof because the like it's two different sloped roofs at different angles. So like, you know, our main house has a typical like, you know, pointy triangle roof in one dimension. And then our kitchen's off the back part of the house, and that has a single sloped roof that is running in the opposite dimension. I'm not sure if you can picture this, but you can basically, like, the lowest part of any roof is, like, I can reach up and put my hand on the top of the roof, right, at our kitchen, right, at the low part. And then you can just kind of, if you get on that part, you can just kind of work your way up the entire roof and make your way all the way around. So yes, this window is right over that kitchen roof, which, mm-hmm, again, mm-hmm, the low part is only, like, 7 feet off the ground. And the couch comes in two pieces, neither of which are particularly heavy as far as I can tell. So, yeah, I think we're just going to get some ladders, some ratchet straps, and try and bring the couch in through the window.
Oh, my God. I hope that this works. Do you think that, like, if the delivery people showed up and you tried to, like, pay them $50 each or something, you could get them to try to put it through your window so that you don't totally destroy your back? Or do you have friends who are going to come help? Like, how are you going to tackle this?
I would never hire someone to do this because it is not so irresponsible that I won't try and do it, but definitely too irresponsible for me to risk someone like suing me or whatever if they like fall off my roof. No one's going to die. The roof, if you could fall off this roof and you'd be fine, right? Like, again, the low part is like 7 feet off the ground. So if you slid off the roof, it's like, I don't know.
Right.
You could very easily just like, hit the ground and be fine. If you landed weird and wrong, maybe you like break your leg or something. No one's going to die. I think the thing that's most likely to happen or most likely to go wrong is you break the couch. Like that, right, that by far is the most likely negative outcome. I don't think anybody's going to get hurt. I think it's just going to be me and my neighbors and friends, and we'll make it happen.
That'll be fun.
If anything goes wrong, it'll be that the couch breaks, not that a person breaks.
You should make a brisket for couch delivery day.
Yeah. I guess maybe the worst thing I can imagine happening that's like somewhat reasonable is like someone's not looking and they step through the skylight in the kitchen, thus breaking the skylight and maybe also cutting themselves. I don't know.
In the 90s movie rendition of this whole affair, that would definitely happen.
Yeah.
A lot of physical gags.
I think it's going to be fine. A couple neighbors. I posed this idea to Hillary and she was like, that sounds like a terrible idea. And to me, she basically, like, she doesn't support the idea, which is fine. She's really struggling with the fact that she wants to support me, but she does not think this is a good idea. And I'm like, look, you don't have to support the idea. I'm like, that's totally fine. Like, I understand if you think it's a bad idea. I'm not looking for your, like, blessing for it. I was like, you can just go for a walk on couch delivery day and come back and, you know, pretend you don't know what happened. But, some neighbors looked at it and were like, oh, that seems totally easy. No big deal. I've done similar things. So I feel pretty okay about it. But okay. What I have to do today, or maybe tomorrow, is make sure I can take the whole sash out of one of our windows, because we have casement windows, which I should be able to do and shouldn't be that hard, but I have to make sure I can do that before we bother trying to order the couch, because if I can't take a sash off, it won't even go through the window. So that's what's new in my life, Linda. It's pretty fun and exciting.
That is very fun and exciting. I would love you to document this process, take lots of pictures, and send them to me on couch delivery day.
I will do this. Should it happen? Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go take a shower and scrub my head. And I'm going to go to a fancy coffee shop.
Okay. I don't know why you specifically mentioned scrubbing your head, but I'm just going to let it go.
I just really want to. You know, sometimes it feels good.
Yeah. It always feels good. Linda, it always feels good.
Always.
Okay.
All right. I love you, Andy.
I love you too. Goodbye.
Happy New Year.
Happy, 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 happy.